Number 1.
NASA engineers have developed an intelligent robot in the shape of a snake. It is able to explore other worlds and build things in space. It's called the SnakeBot. The SnakeBot is better than any previous robot because of the way it moves. For example, when it comes across a rock, it can flip itself backwards over the rock. Also, because of its shape, the SnakeBot can slide in between rocks to look for fossils or water. Another advantage is that if one of the SnakeBot's parts breaks down while on a space mission, it can easily repair itself and then continue doing its tasks. NASA engineers will further develop its abilities to think on its own and act correctly in any situation. Number 2.
On a winter night in 1914, Edison's factory caught fire. Upon hearing the news of the fire, Edison went to the site and watched his factory burn to the ground. All the efforts that he had made during his life turned to ash. Did Edison give up hope? No, he didn't. The next day, he looked around the factory, which was entirely burnt to the ground, and said, "What we have tried until now has all become ash. Now we can start over without those failures." After 3 weeks, Edison's factory manufactured the first phonograph successfully.
Number 3.
2021 Cal Soccer Camp. The Cal Soccer Camp provides an excellent opportunity to compete and showcase your skills in front of college coaches. The 2-day camp consists of 3 training sessions, which are run by Cal assistant soccer coach Jim Wilson. Additional coaching is provided by current Cal soccer players. Open to boys aged 12 to 17. Camp, Saturday, January 16th and Sunday, January 17th, 2021, Memorial Stadium. The camp consists of 3 technical and tactical training sessions. Sessions, January 16th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. January 17th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. is the lunch break. Participants have the option to bring their own lunch and eat on campus or go off campus with their parents. Number 4.
I was playing golf with 3 friends on a remote course, parts of which were inhabited by monkeys. As we neared our balls on one fairway, a monkey swung down from a tree, rummaged through our bags, picked up my golf club cover, and ran away up a tree. I tried distracting it in the hope that it would drop my cover, but to no avail. Then I remembered the old saying, "Monkey see, monkey do." I picked up another golf club cover and threw it to the ground forcefully. The next minute, the monkey threw the other golf club cover at me.
Number 5.
One summer, I was traveling with my husband, John. We were on a crowded bus in Texas. Most of the passengers were speaking Spanish. Suddenly, John said, "Natalie, look at those people with the beautiful baby." He pointed to a young family that looked so happy. I smiled at them. Then, wanting to praise the baby, I said in my best Spanish, "Qué chulo? How charming." The parents then turned to us, looking worried rather than happy. Getting up from their seats, they came toward us. When they were close, the father held out the baby to me. He asked me to touch the baby. The baby's father explained to John and me in Spanish the reason why. Praise from a stranger might bring bad luck. The baby could get sick or even die. But if I touch the baby, I would not be a stranger anymore. So the parents wanted me to hold their baby for a while so that he would be protected from bad luck. I held the baby for a minute. Now their baby will not have bad luck. Number 6.
Have you ever been tempted to check your phone in class? People like to think they can multitask, but the brain actually can focus attention on just one thing at a time. When people switch between tasks, their brains can't keep up with everything. So there will be a delay as their attention moves from one task to another. Someone who is listening to one person talk, for instance, can't also listen to another. They can't listen and read at the same time. So, what happens when students try to listen to a lecture while they check their email? Or participate in a classroom discussion? While liking a friend's photos? This kind of multitasking obviously makes it harder for students to learn.
Number 7.
Researchers conducting experiments have discovered that when an alligator's eggs are incubated below 86 degrees Fahrenheit, all females are born. However, when the temperature is above 93 degrees Fahrenheit, all the offspring from those eggs are male. These effects of temperature on sex selection have allowed scientists to propose a theory explaining why dinosaurs became extinct. A severe climate change could have resulted in a generation of just one gender of offspring, thus enabling no further procreation and eventually leading to the extinction of the species. Number 8.
Both spelling and pronunciation change. In general, the spelling of words changes more slowly than their pronunciation. As a result, the oral and written forms of some words are quite different from each other. The word knock has a silent K. Today, people do not pronounce the K in this word, but years ago they did. While the spelling of this word did not change, the pronunciation did. The words meet and meat are spelled differently, but they are pronounced the same. In the past, they were pronounced differently too. In a few cases, the spelling of a word has changed while its pronunciation has stayed the same. A spelling change often makes a word simpler. For instance, a few years ago, the word coordinate was written with a hyphen, coordinate.
Number 9.
The seven wonders of the world include sites like the Great Pyramid of Giza, the Great Wall of China, and Stonehenge in England, among others. However, Korea's dolmens are no less fascinating. About half of all the dolmens in the world, or around 40,000 dolmens, are found on the Korean peninsula. Human bones, as well as stone, jade, and bronze artifacts, have been unearthed from the dolmens. How such large stones were transported and lifted to build these dolmens still remains a mystery. Dolmens are often referred to as tombs. But it is difficult to make this claim with any certainty. Yi Gyu Bo, a great scholar of Goryeo Dynasty in the 12th century, made the following remarks about dolmens. People say that the saints put the dolmens there in the olden days. It is indeed a wonderful technique that enabled men to position such huge rocks in that way. Number 10.
The graph below shows the air pollution levels in 2019 and 2020 in three major international cities. As we can see, each city experienced a drop in air pollution levels from April 2019 to April 2020. Scientists believe this was due to the impact of COVID-19. As cities across the world imposed various lockdown policies. With people staying at home more, there was significantly less pollution and better air quality in the given time period. In Wuhan, pollution levels fell by nearly 60% from April 2019 to April 2020. Meanwhile, pollution levels in London were nearly twice as high in April 2019 as in April 2020. New York saw the smallest decrease in this time period, most likely due to the city implementing lockdown measures later than the other cities.
Number 11.
Can trees talk? Yes, they can. But they do not talk in words. Scientists have reason to believe that trees do communicate with each other. Not long ago, researchers discovered some surprising things. First, a willow tree attacked in the woods by caterpillars changed the chemistry of its leaves and made them taste so terrible that the caterpillars got tired of the leaves and stopped eating them. Then, even more astonishing, the tree sent out a special vapor, a signal causing its neighbors to change the chemistry of their own leaves and make them less tasty, too. Number 12.
My father had promised my mother that he would close his shop early to be home in time for their 25th wedding anniversary celebrations. The party was scheduled to start at 7 p.m., and when he still had not appeared, Mum called him in a panic. Dad quickly locked up and hurried to get home. A few minutes after he arrived, he received a phone call, grabbed his coat, and rushed out again to the shop. When he got there, he found two police cars and a crowd gathered outside. In his haste to get home, he had locked a customer inside the shop.
Number 13.
Medical tourism can be defined as traveling outside one's country of residence to receive medical care. The popularity of medical tourism has captured the attention of policymakers, researchers, and the media. Originally, the term referred to the traveling of patients from less developed countries to developed nations for treatments not available in their homeland. The reason for the word tourism in the term medical tourism is that people often travel in the foreign country after their medical procedure. These medical tourists can thus take advantage of their visits by taking part in traditional tourist activities, such as visiting historic sites. Number 14.
Recent research studies suggest that the opposite may be true. One report, which looked at 2,000 Danish students studying Swedish, concluded that teenagers learned more in less time than younger children. Another report, on adult Americans learning Russian, showed that the ability to learn increased as age increased. There are several possible explanations for these findings. For one thing, adults know more about the world and therefore are able to understand meanings more easily than children. Moreover, they can use logical thinking to help themselves see patterns in the language. Finally, they have more self-discipline than children.
Number 15.
Emily has a lucky jacket. Whenever she wears it, good things happen to her. She wore it during a final exam one time, and she got the highest grade in the class. The jacket is a little smelly and dirty looking because Emily never washes it. She is scared that washing the jacket will wash away the good luck. One day, Emily had an important interview for a job, which she really wanted to get. Although the jacket was not appropriate for the interview, she decided to wear it under a plain gray coat. When Emily entered the interview room, she was very nervous, so beads of sweat started to fall down her face. She sat down across from the interviewer. "Emily, you look hot. You should take your coat off." Emily laughed nervously. "I'm fine," she said. She wiped the sweat from her brow with a handkerchief. Leaving the interview room feeling unsure, Emily walked down the hallway and took off her coat. A week later, Emily got a phone call from the boss, who offered her the job. The lucky jacket had worked. Number 16.
I can still remember the day I watched iRobot as a teen, and how I was skeptical about my brother's statement that one day, driverless cars would become reality. However, now they're here, made possible by a search engine company, King. The King driverless car is operated by artificial intelligence that utilizes input from video cameras inside the car, a sensor on the vehicle's top, and some radar and sensors attached in different positions on the sides, front, and back of the car. It takes a lot of effort to mimic human intelligence, but so far, the system has successfully driven 1,000 miles without human commands.
Number 17.
Every time I come here to watch the bears, I learn something just by watching them. I've noticed, for example, that the cubs hold plants in their mouths before they eat or discard them. My theory is that bears have receptors that analyze the plants and let them know if they're edible. Also, when they first come out of winter sleep, they search diligently for deer scat to eat. They seem to need the bacteria from it to get their digestive systems going again. If you didn't know this, you could feed them as much as you wanted to, but it wouldn't do much good. Number 18.
One fateful weekend, I had a terrible cold and hesitated to join my family on vacation in the Catskill Mountains. Finally, I decided anything would be better than sitting alone in my room. That night, as I was preparing to go to dinner, my sister rushed up the stairs and said, "When you walk into that dining room, you're going to meet the man you'll marry." I think I said something like, "Go away." But my sister couldn't have been more right. I knew it from the moment I saw him, and the memory still gives me goose flesh.
Number 19.
Smart people don't fill their days with appointments from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., as many politicians and executives do. Great ideas do not emerge from hard logic and grinding hours. They come from the mysterious resources of the human brain and soul. Inspiration is nurtured by activities like chopping wood and raking leaves, preparing dinner, and reading to the kids. These activities soften the rigid pace of the day's pursuits and allow all our God-given intuition to work its illogical magic. Only then can we reach our fullest potential. Only then can we leap from thinking to understanding. Number 20.
This is a story about Ham Sokon, who was a famous social worker. A few decades ago, he was a teacher at his alma mater, Osan School. One day, some students came into the teacher's room. The students came to beat up one of the teachers. All the other teachers ran away, but Mr. Hum bent his head as if he was praying. The students, who were in a fury, thought that Mr. Hum was the teacher whom they had come to beat up and assaulted him instead. Only after a while did they realize that they were hitting the wrong person. The students asked for forgiveness and asked him why he had his head bent. Mr. Hum replied, "If I had opened my eyes, I would have known which of my beloved students hit me, and so would you. If so, how could I stand before you, and how could you look at me?" On hearing this, the students were moved and expressed deep regret.
Number 21.
We often wait for others to model a behavior before doing it ourselves. This is frequently the case when the behavior involves helping someone else. By taking the lead, however, we can become models for others. Try the following experiment. Ask a friend to drop a large handful of loose papers in the middle of a busy sidewalk, pretending that it is an accident. Observe from afar how many people stop to help your friend pick up the papers. Then try the same thing a second time, using the same location at an equally busy hour. But this time you should help pick up the papers, pretending to be a stranger. You will probably find that when you help, others are more likely to help too. Number 22.
Planets are bodies in space that travel in orbits around their stars. All of the planets of the solar system revolve in elliptical orbits. In other words, their orbits are like large, flat circles. The time that it takes a planet to make one revolution around the sun is called its year. The Greeks were the first people to recognize and give names to some of the planets. The word planet comes from a Greek word meaning wanderer. If a person wanders, this means that he goes from one place to another and does not have a permanent home. The Greeks thought that each planet wandered in the sky. However, modern scientists can predict the movement of the planets very accurately.
Number 23.
Many of today's children learn that Cinderella wore glass slippers, but the popular heroine didn't always have breakable shoes. Her old and international story was accidentally slightly changed in that regard by the French writer Charles Perrault, who wrote his version in 1697. Perrault referred to Cinderella's slippers as being made of verre, the French word for glass. However, the old French versions, which were his sources, used the word verre, white squirrel fur. While some historians claim it was a mistake, others say Perrault did it on purpose. Anyway, due to Perrault's version becoming internationally popular, children around the world have enjoyed the much more dramatic image of glass slippers for generations. Number 24.
A digital detox is a time period when an individual refrains from using any digital or electronic devices. These devices generally include portable handheld devices such as smartphones and tablets, as well as computers, laptops, and even televisions. A digital detox is primarily undertaken to reduce stress and to focus more on interacting with real people rather than digital or electronic devices. It reduces stress by providing time to experience nature, get physical exercise, and practice mindfulness. Unplugging on a regular basis helps us maintain a healthy balance between IRL in real-life encounters with people and digital world encounters. In all these ways, a digital detox stops us from getting addicted to tech devices. Ultimately, a digital detox is a good way to disconnect, to reconnect to many different things.
Number 25.
Have you ever hit your elbow and felt a shooting feeling going up your arm? Then you've hit your funny bone. The funny bone got its name because of the feeling you get after you hit it. It's not a sharp pain, but a strange, stinging sensation. But your funny bone isn't actually a bone. It is a nerve that runs under the upper part of the arm, stretching from the shoulder to the fingers. It lets your brain know about feelings in your fourth and fifth fingers. It also controls some movements of your hand. You get that funny feeling when the nerve is bumped against the humerus. Sounds like humerus. The long bone that starts at your elbow and goes up to your shoulder. People also use the expression funny bone when they want to say that something was humorous. Maybe you've heard someone say that something really tickled my funny bone. It means whatever one person said made the other person laugh. Number 26.
The damage a tornado can inflict comes not only from its extremely high winds, but also from the intense low pressure at the storm's vortex. When a tornado strikes a building, the low pressure within the vortex creates an imbalance that makes the relatively high pressure air inside the structure burst outward. Since the air can't escape quickly enough, the structure almost explodes. Knowing this fact about tornadoes, a scientist in Ohio broke every window and opened every door in his home when a tornado approached. After the twister had passed, his was the only house on the block still standing.
Number 27.
You know you shouldn't open emails or answer phone calls from people you don't know. This advice helps you avoid phishing, a scamming tactic used to trick people into revealing confidential information about their bank accounts, credit cards, or other personal accounts. Now you also need to be wary of smishing, phishing attempts conducted over SMS, short message service, better known as texting. In particular, if you get a text from an acquaintance you've never met, from your bank asking you to confirm your account, or from a contest you didn't enter informing you that you've won a prize, delete it immediately. And never click on links sent by text messages from people you don't know. They could infect your phone with malware. Number 28.
Alfred Nobel, the Swedish inventor and industrialist, was a man of many contrasts. He was the son of a bankrupt father, but became a millionaire. He was a scientist with a love of literature, but became an industrialist while still managing to remain an idealist. He made a fortune, but led a simple life. And although cheerful in company, he was often sad in private. A lover of mankind, he never had a wife or family to love him. A patriotic son of his native land, he died alone on foreign soil. He invented a new explosive dynamite to improve the peacetime industries of mining and road building, but saw it used as a weapon of war to kill and injure his fellow man.
Number 29.
Smart bandages can tell if your wound is getting infected. These bandages, currently being developed, will be able to keep your wounds from getting worse. Sensors in these bandages, developed by scientists at the University of Rochester, can screen for bacteria or viruses in a wound, signaling the need for antibiotics. A U.S. Department of Agriculture researcher is also working on a smart bandage that would help cure chronic wounds by blocking an enzyme that breaks down proteins and hinders healing. Meanwhile, another bandage from the University of Virginia draws oxygen-rich blood to damaged tissue to speed recovery. Number 30.
One night, Queen Victoria was going to London on a special train. There was heavy fog that night. This made the engine driver very tense because he couldn't see what was in front of him. Suddenly, there was something in the dark. It seemed that somebody was waving his arms. Immediately, the driver slammed on the brakes. He quickly got out of the train to see who was there. But nobody was to be seen. With his fellow workers, he searched the area carefully. About 200 yards ahead of the train, the track had been washed away due to an overflowing river. If that person hadn't warned him, they would have fallen into the river. After the track had been repaired, the train headed for London again. The drivers searched the train thoroughly after all the passengers had left. He found a big moth stuck on the headlight of the engine. The moth had flown into the headlight of the train as it neared towards the washed-away track. The moth's wings were spread like a person waving his arms. The moth was removed carefully and is still kept in the British Museum today.
Number 31.
Many people believe that since black people's achievements do not appear in the history books, they do not have any. Most people are taken aback when they learn that black people sailed with Columbus and fought side by side with white Americans in all their wars. Black people should know about the contributions that black individuals and groups have made towards building America. This is of vital importance for their self-respect. And it is perhaps even more important for white people to know. For if you believe that a people have no history worth mentioning, it is easy to assume that they have no value as a people. Number 32.
We humans have modest abilities in a vast range of areas, whereas AI has supreme competence in only one extremely narrow area. A single human being can walk, speak, understand, paint, make music, and communicate with others, among many other things. A single AI, however, is only able to do one of these things, but it can do it incredibly well. For example, researchers programmed an AI to transfer the styles of famous paintings into the form of ordinary photographs. Unlike a human being, an AI can digitally reproduce thousands of these stylized photographs in an hour. However, the same AI can't do anything else. So, one could argue that without a human creating an AI and deploying it to do these tasks, the AI couldn't do anything at all. Therefore, as we are their creators, their creativity is actually our creativity.
Number 33.
I've always been a curious person. Over the years, countless things have captured my attention, including history, science fiction, film, the architecture of public spaces, mechanical computers, and so on. Thankfully, I had early support from my parents who encouraged my natural curiosity. If I was curious about something, they gave me permission to explore it. When I didn't know how, they made the tools of exploration available. But they didn't want me to pursue every new, shiny thing simply because it was novel. They felt it was more beneficial for me to focus my attention on a few things I showed a deeper interest in, and that made me feel something. They knew that if I let those curiosities guide me, I would be more likely to do something with the fruits of that exploration. Number 34.
Of the tens of thousands of ships on the ocean floor, only a handful, less than 1%, contain any saleable treasure, such as gold or jewels. Most of them give us a different, priceless treasure, history. Sunken ships lie in trust, preserved in the airless environment of the sea, and those in deep water are especially well protected. No dry land sites anywhere, except perhaps Egyptian tombs, are in a better state of preservation than a vessel deep in the ocean. Sunken ships, therefore, can be a rare window through which a moment in time is glimpsed.
Number 35.
After flying 1,930 kilometers over 48 days, the six Whomping Cranes landed safely in Florida. Most types of birds make similar migrations. So, what was so special about this group? These birds were guided by an aircraft, which was operated by a non-profit organization named Operation Migration. The Whooping Crane has existed for millions of years. It is one of the world's largest flying birds. Today, however, fewer than 200 migratory whooping cranes survive in the wild. So efforts are being made to raise the birds in captivity. Why do people need to teach the birds to migrate? Most flying birds learn the migration route from their parents. However, if birds are orphaned or raised in captivity, they will not learn how to migrate. Instead, they will try to survive the winter in a harsh, cold climate. Number 36.
A composer writes a work, but no one can hear it unless it is performed. Professional singers and musicians have great responsibilities, for the composer is utterly dependent on them. To become a musical performer, they need to train as long and arduously as medical students do to become doctors. Most training is concerned with technique, because musicians need to have the muscular proficiency of an athlete or ballet dancer. Singers practice breathing every day, as their vocal cords would be inadequate without controlled muscular support. String players practice moving the fingers of the left hand up and down, while drawing the bow to and fro with the right arm. Two entirely different movements.
Number 37.
Lots of people don't know that physics has a lot to do with the world of sports. But it does because sports are all about matter and motion. Have you ever noticed that when a runner reaches the finish line and stops running, they don't actually stop? Instead, they will continue moving forward for a few steps and then eventually stop. This situation is the law of inertia, or the first law of Newton. Moreover, when a basketball player jumps to make a shot, they appear to be suspended in midair during the high point of the jump. And the higher they jump, the longer they appear suspended in midair. This is a consequence of projectile motion. These are just some of the things that relate physics to sports. Now, you may be more interested in what your physics teacher says next class. Number 38.
Ted was 40 pounds overweight. His wife and doctor were always after him to lose weight and exercise. But somehow, knowing what he had to do never got him to do it. Then, Ted and his wife adopted a boy from Romania named Alex. Alex had been orphaned at a young age and was very malnourished. One day, when he was 10, He drew a picture of himself alone, desolate, and abandoned. When Ted asked Alex about it, Alex said he just knew his dad would die because of his poor health, leaving him fatherless again. In that moment, Ted went from feeling that he had to change his health habits to feeling that he wanted to. He was motivated to get healthy out of love for his child and the desire to see Alex grow up. Ted began to make small changes, ordering salad instead of fries, and exploring cities on foot rather than by cab. And those changes added up. He lost 40 pounds because he wanted to.
Number 39.
In recent years, advances in medical technology have made it possible for people to live longer than in the past. New medicines and machines are being developed every day to extend life. However, some people, including some doctors, are not in favor of these life-extending measures, and they argue that people should have the right to die when they want. They say that quality of life is as important as life itself, and that people should not be forced to go on living when the conditions of life have become unbearable. They say that people should be allowed to die with dignity and to decide when they want to die. Number 40.
The UNESCO World Heritage Committee meets annually to approve the addition of sites of cultural, natural, and traditional significance to its preservation list, called the World Heritage List. On the list now are 1,121 sites, which all possess outstanding universal value. In addition, the sites have to meet one or more of 10 criteria. These criteria include being a masterpiece of human creative genius, an example of a traditional human settlement, or an example of exceptional natural beauty. A no vote by the UNESCO committee doesn't mean the site isn't worthy, or it won't become a World Heritage Site in the future. In fact, countries spend years promoting their sites for inclusion on the list. They must convince the committee that they will protect their sites and support them financially.
Number 41.
Digital natives are those who were generally born after the 1980s, and they are comfortable in the digital age because they grew up using technology. Meanwhile, digital immigrants are those who were born before the 1980s, and they are fearful of using technology. Digital immigrants are the older crew, and they weren't raised in a digital environment. The term digital immigrants mostly applies to individuals who were born before the spread of the digital technology and who were not exposed to it at an early age. Digital natives are the opposite of digital immigrants, and they have been interacting with technology from childhood. According to Mark Prensky, they are the generation of young people who are native speakers of the digital language of computers, video games, and the internet. Number 42.
Harjeet Singh sat on the bench by the carousel at the airport waiting for his suitcase to arrive. He was tired and dreading the cold weather outside. In Amritsar, where he came from in India, it was 37 degrees. In Paris, it was just 14 degrees. Harjeet was a little upset. He did not want to come to Paris. But because his father had received a job offer in France, they had to leave India and make a new start. Still waiting on the bench by the carousel for his luggage, Harjeet suddenly felt like he was being stared at. He saw a boy who must have been 10 years old, the same age as himself, looking at him. The boy was staring at his turban, which upset him and made him feel self-conscious. Angrily, Harjeet stood up and stepped right next to the carousel. Seeing a bag that looked similar to his own, he snatched it, even though he wasn't entirely sure it was his.
Number 43.
If someone asked you to take a guess at how Neptune was discovered, you would probably say that astronomers were scanning the skies and they just saw it. Most people think that the planets in our solar system were discovered by accident. But Neptune wasn't discovered the way all the other planets in our solar system were. Neptune was discovered by using a mathematical formula. After the discovery of Uranus, scientists were having trouble figuring out the planet's orbit. They realized that there must be another planet farther out than Uranus affecting Uranus's orbit. They were right. French astronomer Urbain Le Verrier and English astronomer John Couch Adams made the mathematical calculations of where Neptune should be, and German astronomer Johann Galle observed it in 1846. Number 44.
When I arrived for my daughter's parent-teacher meeting, the teacher seemed a bit bewildered, especially when she started telling me that my little girl didn't always pay attention in class and was sometimes a little flighty. For example, she'll do the wrong page in the workbook, the teacher explained. And I've even found her sitting at the wrong desk. I don't understand, I replied defensively. Where could she have got that from? The teacher went on to reassure me that my daughter was still doing fine in school and was sweet and likable. Finally, after a pause, she added, By the way, Mrs. Parker, our appointment was for tomorrow.
Number 45.
During his acceptance speech at the Golden Globes, Parasite director Bong Joon-ho sparked debate in Hollywood when he offered this message to American audiences. Once you overcome the one-inch-tall barriers of subtitles, you will be introduced to so many more amazing films. Much media attention has been devoted to Parasite's success in America, as the film has earned over $35 million and won several major awards. Yet, the film's popularity is rare for foreign films, with previously only a few international films finding success in America. While moviegoers in many countries are used to watching films with subtitles, American moviegoers are not, because American cinemas rarely play non-English language films. Moviegoers there often complain that subtitles are distracting and difficult to read. However, there are no research studies proving that subtitles make films less enjoyable as long as the films are entertaining and engaging.